This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, we've not mentioned, I don't think we mentioned on our show today or yesterday, Seth. Did you see that the soldier of fortune, the mercenary, Jadeveon Clowney, is for the first time since 2017 and 2018 going to have the same home for 2 years in a row?
He's staying put in Cleveland?
Staying put. Reportedly, the Browns wanted to do a multi-year deal with him. Yeah. And Jadeveon Clowney wanted to sign a one-year deal, so he signed a one-year deal for $11 million. He likes being nimble.
This is a prediction that I don't. It's like not like bragging about this. Isn't the same as, you know, picking who's going to be the Super Bowl entrance or anything. But I felt I had a read on this a while back while Jadeveon was still with the Texans. That first year that he was franchise tagged, I felt like Clowney is the kind of guy who might be just fine doing nothing but one-year deals for the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. Some guys are just kind of wired that way. There was a part of me that kind of liked the idea of in this sport where like in any given offseason you might think about retiring because your body is just beat to hell. So there's a part of me that was always like, ah, oh, gosh, I should just sign one-year deals because then if you retire, you don't owe any money from prorated signing bonus. You don't have to give anything back it's a clean break. You don't feel any ties or anything. But, you know, for multiple reasons, it makes sense to sign multi-year deals. I think Clowney might be just like that genuine of a free spirit that he just likes – being able to make that decision every year and not be tied down to anything, which is, again, why I felt like O'Brien didn't have to trade Clowney for what he did. And coming off of that year, it was still less than they could have gotten if they had traded him earlier. I think Clowney would have been just fine playing under the franchise tag for the Texans that year. Yeah. That's all old business. I'm not going to whine and cry about that. I think Clowney is a guy who just wants to be able to just make that decision every year.
And teams
should be happy for that, too, because he gets banged up a lot.
He does. He was actually relatively...
He didn't last year, yep. But he does in general.
He was relatively healthy. He missed one game with injury and then two because of COVID last year. So he played in 14 games. He had this to say in December. They asked him in December about, hey, what are you going to do next year in free agency? And he said this, quote, "I hate bouncing around like this because you have to pack up all your stuff and move and find new stuff to eat. I'm always on the map, on DoorDash or something. Like, what's the good stuff around here?" So I do miss his press conferences.
Bad.
I do. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You get to try new things.
I wish if he had stuck around in Houston and let's say his play had been one notch higher to where he felt like, oh, okay, yeah, he's bona fide, was worth the number one overall pick. And because he's a very fine football player. He's a very good and productive football player. He's not the sack machine that you hope you get with a number one overall pick. But he makes an impact in the game. But the fact that, like, he would call Blake Bortles trash after a loss, after a Texans loss,
yeah,
and or that he would disclose injury information when O'Brien didn't want him to disclose information. That if he had been a little bit better, and if the Texans had been a little bit better, if they'd been if they won a Super Bowl or if they were genuine contenders every year. I think he might have ended up one of the most beloved athletes in Houston because he's got kind of a almost like a lovable baseball player vibe to him.
He absolutely
does. The quirky baseball player that's just not quite. There's something askew, but it makes him lovable in the right circumstances.
Okay, so who would he be? You know, when you describe that, Seth, like quirky, lovable, you know, probably not one of the best players on the team, but a good player. He's Yuli Gurriel. He could have been the Yuli Gurriel of the Houston Texans.
I was thinking more of a Jose Lima type with just without the, you know, without the singing chops and everything. But on a really good team, and if he'd been a little bit better of a player, I think he would have been embraced for his personality like Jose Lima was embraced for his.
Do you remember what the score was of the game where Clowney called Bortles trash? Do you remember what the final score was of that game, Jacksonville and the Texans? That was in 2017, the year that Jacksonville made it to the AFC title game.
Okay, so it was either, I'm thinking it had to be one of two directions. It was either a blowout by the Jaguars, or it was a game where that Blake Bortles actually did play not that impressively, but the Jaguars won. I'm going to say it was 13-10 Jaguars.
45-7 Jaguars. Blake Bortles, Seth. Blake Bortles, you ready? You ready? Yes. No, you okay? You save yourself because you're going to be laughing harder in a second.
So this is the game that after which Clowney, as he was leaving the podium, said he's still trash.
Blake Bortles is still Blake trash. Bortles. Blake Bortles, yeah. 21 of 29, 326 yards, 3 touchdowns, yeah. No interceptions, a quarterback rating of 143.7.
But this is the key: who was correct?
Clowney. Well, ultimately, Clowney was
yeah,
right.
That's yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, there's something just flat-out admirable about a guy that even in that context will say, yeah, he's still trash. Like, yeah, he had a good game. What? Like, oh, all of a sudden? What, he's Joe Montana all yeah, of a sudden? Yeah. He's still trash.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to appreciate that kind of honesty.
So, former Texans.
Where can we find I'll tell you what, back then we had players on this team who weren't afraid to tell the truth. Well, I miss the days of Jadeveon Clowney.
I feel like
this modern athlete. Yeah.
I feel like Damian Pierce has some Clowney potential.
I don't think so. I think Damian Pierce, though, like Damian Pierce is a little bit more aware of probably like when it's appropriate to let your freak flag fly.
Yeah.
Whereas Clowney, it was just Clowney was going to Clowney no matter the time of day or night, the situation, whatever it might be, you're going to get that version of Jadeveon Clowney.
That's funny. Remaining former Texans that are still on the market. Dwayne Brown has not found a home yet.
He's old, man.
Yeah, he's 37, but he's still effective. You know, there's still plenty of teams that need – there's still plenty of teams for whom he would represent an upgrade at tackle. I can't imagine the well has dried up for Dwayne Brown. He's going to find a home, I would think, but maybe, you know, I'm guessing Dwayne's been pretty good with his money. You know, maybe he's going to be real choosy about where he goes.
Well, yeah, and I think that's precisely what it probably is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he turns 37 in training camp this year.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, I don't know what is the situation up in Seattle? Are they set at both their tackles?
I have no idea. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm guessing he wants to be sure he goes to a place where he knows what his role is, and that he's not going to end up on the bench all of a sudden because they like a rookie or something. I think he wants to step into a situation where he feels pretty comfortable.
Yeah,
with it.
The problem, you know, the problem for Dwayne is that if he wants to go somewhere that he can win at a high level, most of those teams have good tackles already, you know.
Yeah, if he might want to be a Whitworth, an Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where like, okay, if one of the good teams, and that's again where, like you said, I doubt he's at the stage where he's not playing because he needs to get paid or anything. He's probably wants to find the perfect situation where he can play for a contender, and maybe that's just not out there right now.
Will Fuller is still out there. Boy, what do you think happens to Will Fuller?
Oh boy.
Can you imagine if they had given Will? Can you imagine if they'd given Will Fuller a contract? You know, they used the fifth year option on him in 2020. That was his last year with the Texans, and there had been talk about to use the franchise tag on Will Fuller. That was one of Nick Caserio's first big decisions. Was okay, what do we do with Will Fuller? And they let Will Fuller walk, and the Dolphins ended up giving him a $10 million contract for 4 catches.
You know what, Sean? I was going back before we interviewed Caserio the other day. I was kind of like, before we interview people, I try to find interviews from way back when to, you know, try to maybe look at different angles or bring up something that they haven't been asked.
Good luck with Caserio.
I know. No, the most recent result when I filtered it on YouTube, the most recent result on anything involving Caserio was like Chris Sims talking about Caserio in 2019. I couldn't even find a Caserio interview on YouTube.
Yeah.
I could find stuff elsewhere. But I was looking at the, so sometimes like the comments can be really good, kind of sources for different angles and what have you. After the, I think it was the first time you and I interviewed Nick Caserio. One of the commenters, several of the commenters were upset that you and I did not ask about Will Fuller. So.
Okay.
I thought about asking it today, yesterday. I mean,
good decision to move on from Fuller, eh?
Yeah.
Really bold question.
But we had thought it. You and I had discussed it beforehand, and it felt like the classic. Okay, this is going to be a wasted question, most likely. So we decided not to go there.
Our first interview with him was the day he got hired.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, like, that's okay. I mean, you just walked into the building 4 hours ago. So what are you doing with Will Fuller? Like, he hasn't even had a chance to assess it yet.
Well, there's always, though, too, this is the problem. When you do an interview with somebody like Nick, and Nick gives long answers and with some good nuggets in the long answers, but usually there, you're not going to be able to ask every question that you'd really like to ask. And then when you try to explain that, people will say, yeah, but what? Then you had to talk about WWE instead? Like, no, but if you talk about WWE for a little bit, you tend to get a more loose and conversational and uninhibited interview subject. So you get more out of the other questions. But it's a conundrum. You can't ask every question you want to ask.
I'll point out to people, like, the Texans GM coming on this station on a monthly basis is something that has not happened since Charlie Casserly. Like, it's been.
Well, it hasn't happened. I mean, yeah, it hasn't happened with, like, our, you know, the non Texans radio. It's happened on the station, but not. Yeah.
Good point. Non house media, like on the regular lineup shows here on Sports Radio 610. It has not happened for a decade and a half. And, yeah, I think part of the reason, like, Nick doesn't have to do it. I think part of the reason he does it is he enjoys coming on the show. He likes chopping it up. And we do some gaga for a few minutes, but he spends 36 minutes with us. You know, like, I think he enjoys coming on the show, and that's part of it.
We should have asked about Will Fuller, though.
Yeah, maybe next time. We'll ask about free agent number 49, Will Fuller.
Now, if the Texans had given him a contract, I don't think it was ever going to be anything more than,
like, 3 years.
Like, maybe, like, or 3 years where the third year was very much a dummy.
And that's what
year
I meant. Yeah,
out.
Like 3 years you can get out after two, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I don't think anybody would have been held over the coals over a Will Fuller contract. The biggest thing with Will Fuller is he's reached that stage where it's just always something. It used to be that it was the injuries, but then it turned into a PED suspension. Then it turned into him missing time last year for some kind of a personal situation, which, again, like, might have been a legitimate personal situation, but it's something. Like, it's always something. Who was the player on the Rockets that it was always something? Remember he got in the accident on the way to
Terrence Jones.
He kicked a homeless guy.
Yeah.
He got an accident on the way there. He had some weird lung injury that nobody'd ever heard of. Like, it was always something.
He had a nerve issue, like, in the back of his knee. Like, it was.
It wasn't. You couldn't even get normal injuries.
It was always something with Terrence Jones. Yeah, absolutely. Will Fuller is the Terrence Jones of the NFL. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. We've talked a lot about Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban this week. The one thing, the one development that I think could really take this feud to the next level. I'll tell you what it is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.